Hi, welcome to another episode of Smarter Equipment Finance. Today, we're going to be talking about RPOs, also known as rental purchase options. So my name is Robert Jackson. I'm known by RJ. It's just easier to condense it. I have my host, Mr. Alvarez, Anthony Alvarez. Today, we're going to be discussing the advantages and disadvantages of owning equipment versus exercising RPO options.
Yeah.
So, Anthony, tell me a little bit more about RPOs, what you know, what they're all about, what the pitfalls of an RPO could be, and kind of summarize it a little bit, and we'll go into a little bit more detail as we go along.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. So an RPO is a rental purchase option. As a matter of fact, these are often found at rental yards. Absolutely love rental yards. If you think of it this way, they fill the gap for business owners when a purchase may not be in the plan at that time. Maybe it's a temporary job or a small job for a temporary condition, and you need that type of equipment. So a rental purchase option gives you the opportunity to rent the equipment, but you're also buying down the equipment because you get credit. In many cases, that could be a substantial amount. Now, we're going to have examples throughout this this podcast. But essentially, an RPO is a great means of acquiring equipment when you're not in the market to finance.
Okay. Now, speaking from my personal career at Smarter Equipment Finance, which is approaching 6 years, I've encountered them at least 24 times or possibly more. I don't know. And during my encounters, I've often found that when somebody wants to engage from an RPO into another product, what kind of products do we have that they can, you know, advance into, I suppose?
You know, so that's a really good question, because there's different design programs to help business owners, whether it's a dollar buyout, whether it's an FMV lease, a traditional lease, whether it's an EFA, a loan with an early buyout. And some of these programs even come with, say, step payments. There's all kinds of different programs available. So when you're considering taking your RPO into a financed format, these are some of the things that you should be expecting or you should be asking for, depending upon what your needs are. There are times where business owners come to us and they want to finance. But honestly, maybe an RPO is the best fit for the time. Maybe there's something on credit, right? Maybe there's something just not in line with what you need. Maybe your revolving is really high, right? Maybe you only have 10% of revolving credit available, where lenders want to see about 80%. In cases like that, an RPO is an actual product that where you rent to purchase option, if you will. You have a rental purchase option. So you can continue to rent it, or you could purchase it outright with the credit that you get on whatever agreed upon term you have with that rental agency.
And how long are those terms typically?
You know, I've seen those anywhere from, say, 6 months, 8 months, 12 months. The most recent one was 14 months. That kind of threw me off. So what I understand, you know, as far as the terms, the minimal that I do know, is that this is all controlled by whoever you were working with.
Correct.
And the benefit of these,
I think it's akin to kind of an in-house financing program, if you will.
Yeah, kind of.
But it's like a lease to own, if you will. But the parameters on what you own versus or how much rental cost versus actual
equity,
I should say. Is really contingent upon the seller and yourself. That's an agreement that we have absolutely no dog in that fight.
That is correct.
We can't control any aspect of that.
Correct.
The only thing that we can control is to check and recheck the numbers to ensure that they match up with what you believe you should be getting credit for. But the one thing about an RPO that you have to understand is it's moving from a lease to a commitment. It really is. It's a deciding factor. So it's usually for people that are looking to engage the equipment for long-term growth that are going to scale their business. So if it's a piece of equipment that has been providing a lot of utility, a lot of revenue, a lot of profit, And it's something that they want to keep for the next 3 to 5 years and own it, because when you own it, you're free to do anything with it. When you're doing with these RPO, you're restricted to the covenants that are within that agreement. So you have to abide by those agreements, or it's canceled.
Yeah.
And they can take it away. When you own the equipment, nobody can take it away unless you stop making the payments. But that's like anything else in life. Because it works just like a traditional loan would when you were talking about different products that we can be offered. So that's one of the things that I've noticed that has to be a mental decision, a breakdown, a commitment that has to be agreed upon.
No, that's a really good point. A recent example, there was a gentleman that I was helping on an RPO from one of our drill vendors. And the gentleman had rented two separate rigs, each of them for over $14,000. Mm. Yes, I said $14,000.
Yeah. It's not uncommon.
So you figure he's paying approximately $28,000 a month renting these two drill rigs. Mm-hmm. But the reason, why did he have to do it? Ironically enough, I met this client 2 years ago.
Weird.
Yeah. And I met him through a manufacturer. And at the time, the young man just didn't have any time in business. Mm. He was just too new. Excellent credit, though, by the way. Excellent credit. But he was trying to bite off a little more than what's allotted for a startup. You and I both know, traditionally, startups are limited to approximately $150,000. Mm. In this particular customer's case, he was taking down two pieces of equipment for $400,000. Mm. So,
but he wasn't a startup, was he?
Yes, he was.
Oh.
Which is why I couldn't help him at the time at the manufacturer.
Okay.
But it brings me to the point. This is a great time to exercise an RPO. In the event, if the asset that you're looking at is way beyond the means of any comfort of a commercial lender when you're a startup, this is a great way for you to still acquire the equipment, pay down the equipment, use the equipment, succeed with the equipment, and then eventually, as you said, and I love the way you said it, because it is, the reason I bring this example up, he had to make a commitment, right?
Yeah.
But he only wanted to make a commitment on one.
Right.
And the reason, he was unsure whether or not he wanted to take down that additional exposure.
Right.
And so I love the way that you verbalize that, because you're actually pointing out something that is, it's so obvious. Like, if the business owner is not committed to that purchase, it's not a good time to talk to someone in financing. Now, if they are, let me explain the benefit of this. The gentleman was making a payment of approximately $14,000 and change. When I say change, well over $14,000. And ended up yielding a monthly payment of approximately $3,900 on a finance term. Mm-hmm. What a relief. Mm. I mean, if you can imagine, the rest of that is now what? What is that now? What does the additional money become now to his revenue?
Whatever he wants.
Profit.
Well,
now he has profit, or he could pay more bills. Whatever he wants is just like you said. He could pay bills with it. He could save it. But the point is, he bit the bullet. He took advantage of an excellent program with a wonderful vendor who, by the way, I notice a lot of vendors in the RPO industry, rental industry, they're very service-oriented.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Very relationship-driven, very caring as to the success of their clientele. Mm-hmm. I've noticed this with the reps that I've engaged, especially over the past 2 years as I've delved into it more. Mm-hmm. But there's a great service that comes with it. And sometimes when you buy something, the service is there. Don't get me wrong. But when it's an RPO, that person's kind of tied to you for the next couple of years, right? So in this client's example, it's a great example of when to exercise an RPO, how he came to a decision of commitment, and how it benefited him in the long run, rolling it into ownership. That I love the way that you said that, though, because it really brought about a better explanation for it. So it kind of leads me into something else, because we've talked about why we believe RPOs are great and why we love rental companies and how they help business owners just like we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, it's just another form of financing something in a way. So I bring that up because – what would the application process look like?
An application process is going to be no different than anything else. So you want to make sure you don't neglect your credit. RPOs don't generally report as a trade reference anywhere.
Correct.
Because you're just essentially renting equipment, so there would be no serviceable reason for that. Although I have come across circumstances, weirdly enough, where I know people have done it for a very long time. Sometimes it does show up, weirdly enough. It's been a while, but if memory serves me correctly, because it's been doing this for almost 6 years now, but yeah. I believe so, but not 100%. But I know it doesn't show up on personal credit, so don't neglect your personal credit. We want to look for people that have longer operational histories. Traditionally, because this is a business-to-business transaction, can yield better results, but it's not always guaranteed. Nothing is.
Yeah.
And when it comes to how the terms are paid back, we have programs that can go as long as 72 and even sometimes 84 months for well-qualified people. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to extend your term out as long as possible, we've got options that allow you to pay it off early, so it's treated just like a loan. We've got traditional term loan, EFAs, just like you were saying. We can even structure leases. The application process is pretty much a phone call. And if you have access to your email, if you've got good credit, we don't even really need bank statements unless the account or the size of the transaction is pretty substantial, usually over 150K, we might have to get bank statements. Mm-hmm. But if you've got strong enough personal credit, strong enough business stability, credibility, a 15-minute phone call is all you really need.
Yeah. And along with that, since you are in an RPO, part of the RPO program and the reason that we love them as financers mm-hmm. is because business owners build equity. They build equity into mm-hmm. the equipment. In this recent instance, and I know you have one, I mean, Robert and I are very close friends. We sit next to each other at work. We talk about our clients. We try to bounce ideas off each other to go ahead and help our clients. And we both recently had run into RPOs, which is why we wanted to do this podcast, because there's so many good reasons why you need to use an RPO, and there's so many great benefits when you're going to approach financing with it. So as Robert was saying, the application process is simple. It's a soft-checked application. We may or may not need banks. Verifying, say, how much time in business you have. And then the other key component would be your RPO paperwork. Mm-hmm. What's different about an RPO in reference to a standard, say, rental agreement, an RPO is allowing so much equity to be put back in your favor toward the purchase at the end of the RPO. Or in some cases, during the RPO, if your rental agency allows you to do so. But the reason that that's important in this recent case, and I'm going to go back to it, I could not help this gentleman 2 years ago because he needed $377,000. For a startup, they would cap him at $150,000. You and I both know that. By going into the RPO, he was able to acquire two of those machines at $377,000, but he was paying $14,000 a month each. Mm. Out of the $14,000, each of those were storing away approximately $10,000 of his monthly RPO payment towards his purchase in the future. So by the time I met the client again, he had $140,000 plus in equity.
Wow.
Exactly. Now, because we have lenders that'll step to the plate to help startups over a year, mm-hmm. he was now in the right position to approach these lenders and got an incredible term, 72 months. Single-digit deal, early buyout option. Mm-hmm. He was ecstatic. As a matter of fact, it even led to a great review. Mm-hmm. So I bring that up because that's probably the only additional paperwork you would need when applying is mm-hmm. your RPO credit information, because we would like to see how much you've contributed. And I love what you said as far as staying on credit. And it's the same on the RPO. Do not fall behind. Mm. Believe it or not, lenders will look at the pay history on an RPO, even though it could be $100,000 worth of equity on a $300,000 piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go ahead and start to question you if you were running late on that. Mm-hmm. What are some other good points or key indicators that you should be aware of when you're in an RPO stepping towards a purchase? Anything that people should think of, maybe bolstering banks or it, what other ideas do you have?
Well, it never hurts to have healthy financials. Very rarely will we have to ask for full documentation requiring 2 years tax returns and other data. But for the sake of argument, RPOs, like I was saying before, are fantastic for people who want to position themselves for long-term growth. Mm-hmm. It's really what it is.
Yeah.
But for an average guy or a guy that's trying to still, you know, like a giraffe on roller skates, if you will, still trying to figure out that an RPO is perfect. Because it still allows him not to be committed to it, so he can get out of the equipment at any time. He can turn the equipment. Don't know about penalties or anything like that, but he's not encumbered by it with a purchase, as you will. You got to look at it from both sides.
You why don't you tell the audience? And I couldn't wait to get to this point because this is a really great story. Robert has a client that he has served for a couple of years now and has taken care of them. Mm-hmm. And one day, one of his clients shows up and he has about $700,000 of equipment on rental. Mm-hmm. And when I originally heard the info, I was like, wait, what? And it was amazing because the time that you had spent in dissecting that deal and how you approached it, share with us, like, what was the benefit to the client? Tell us about that experience. Again, $700,000 of rented equipment in the construction industry.
Yeah, it was a customer who had helped a couple of times, and but I won't share any information about him because it's you know.
No, obviously, absolutely.
Obviously proprietary, but he's a wonderful, wonderful client. I've talked to him personally. He's a great guy. So we've developed kind of this relationship, if you will.
Yeah.
But the deal was too large to get done in one piece without getting tons of information. I had to get a debt schedule. I had to get current interims, profit loss statements, 2 years tax returns, three months bank statements, and it was exhausting. No, I mean, and he's a business owner. He doesn't have time to compile all. It was really the time. It was just like. He calls me because I get it done quickly. I don't require much. It's just boom here, quick. I need this. I need that. This what do you need from me? Mm-hmm. Here's the terms. It's very transactional, but that's just because he has so limited time in his day. He values that more than anything.
Can I ask you something? When you say time,
uh-huh.
Is it his time in using the equipment or what type of business?
His time just in a day for running his business with his family. He's very like he's. He takes his son to a basketball game and he doesn't answer work emails. He'll tell me straight up, I'm turning my phone off. Yeah. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm done for the evening.
No, he has time management.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he doesn't mess around when it comes, but it was too big to get the deal that way. So what I did is I broke it apart because we have so many different underwriting profiles that we're familiar with. We know how to position the deals. So I was able to secure all of the assets.
What assets were they?
They were non-titled. They were lifts, boom lifts, telehandlers.
Awesome.
And other equipment.
Awesome.
Things like that. Forklifts. Just things that a rental yard would use. Anyhow, it went through. It was a lot of work. It required an extraordinary amount of my time. But we pulled it off, and now he owns all of them. I believe it was 11 different pieces or something to that effect.
And how much did that affect him economically?
It saved him. He said it was going to save him about $60,000 a month.
$60,000.
Yeah, $60,000 a month.
So. I bring that up because
this is a guy who does $8 to $9 million a year.
Yeah, this is why I bring it up. And RPOs save him. I know his story. Mm-hmm. You've shared with me. he uses RPOs continuously. Mm-hmm. They are great. Again, yeah, absolutely.
He's in one right now, actually, currently.
Love the product. Yeah. Our clients love the product. And again, when financing is not the comfort, you got to have a good rental yard. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, saving $60,000 a month, what do you think that's going to do to his P&L by the end of the year?
Who knows?
That's some huge money. I shouldn't jest about that, but I do bring it up because it is. It's true. Like there's a massive savings. Now, when people rent, they account for that rental payment in most of their jobs. Like when I was in construction, we would rent equipment. We would write that detail or that cost into our job of whatever that equipment was going to be. So I understand that portion of it, and that thing is covered. But as you start to grow more and you have multiple job sites, you need to rent more. And well, maybe now is the time to start purchasing these things since your company is expanding, growing, and you're picking up way more consistent work. I want to say consistent work. So again, you took that client, you put them in a fabulous situation. I've been with you throughout the entire process. I got to commend you because the statement that came from the client as far as his appreciation and just the way that he acknowledged you, I could tell that you felt very proud of that. And so that those are two great examples of what we believe an RPO, you know, what they can do for a business owner and how we have stepped in to also help business owners at the tail end of those RPOs. So let's go ahead and just kind of wrap this up in a sense and talk about the benefits. Really just want to recap. So if you're a startup business and you're having trouble qualifying for the equipment that you need, RPOs.
Yeah, sticking them, staying.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Because it shows a pattern of payment. Mm-hmm. Lenders will then take that term, the proof of the term, the history of the payments, and that'll be one of the contingencies on their decision.
On that side note real quick, don't want to interject. If the RPOs can be extended long enough and we have an accurate payment history, we can actually use that, believe it or not, to bolster the deal. So don't think that those payments are just, you know, disappearing like a fart in the wind, because it's not true.
Correct. That's why they're supposed to. That's why I said earlier, make sure those are on time as well.
Right.
What Robert just alluded to is it would almost, it's like a trade reference. It is. It's a trade reference in a sense. You're going to a financing lender and you're sharing with them that you've done something in-house on a rental agreement, but the pattern of on-time payments are going
to
help you.
Right. You've picked up a new job. You want to transition to larger growth. So you need to get the equipment in order to do that. Or maybe there's a job coming up that's going to require you to have a piece of equipment for the next 6 months straight, and an RPO would, you know, having buying the equipment, you could see the long-term value. You could possibly pay off the equipment at that time. We don't generally encourage that. Let's be honest. If you're going to borrow money, leverage it for your benefit, at least extend the term out on the payment history, just like you would on RPO for 12 to 24 months.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, you're right. The longer history that we have on those, the better. Another good time to use an RPO is, let's say you go to finance and you find out you have excellent credit. Okay. You have excellent banks. But maybe you are what's called a business that is in the class of rapid expansion. So for those out there that are watching, rapid expansion is when a business owner has so much growth within a short time of a short period of time where lenders start to go ahead and kind of push back a little bit and say, well, maybe not right now. This is a great client, but they've taken on too much water. RPO, or as you mentioned, it's a job. You have a special condition. You're not going to need this equipment for the next couple years. RPO. We've talked about not only when it's beneficial to use them, but what items we would need. All we need is the proof of the RPO agreement and how long you've paid and the proof of those payments being on time.
I just wanted to extend a personal greeting to everybody out there and say thank you for watching this this episode of RPOs. If there's any questions or if you found this information useful, You can give myself, Robert Jackson, RJ, or Anthony a call at Smarter Equipment Finance. And if you probably encounter either one of us concerning these things, you'll get the information you need.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on that. Again, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go ahead and just end this by saying that we appreciate the feedback that people mm-hmm. give us after these podcasts
Please.
As well.
Yeah.
So take the time. If you're in the rental sector, mm-hmm. if there's something that we've missed or if there's something that we could have touched on, we'd love to hear from you. We have tons of relationships from the East Coast to the West Coast out to Hawaii, Alaska, and we would love to hear what your thoughts are, or we'd love to hear about a success story of an RPO and how it changed your career or your business. Robert and I are available Monday through Friday, generally here all day long, so we'd love to go ahead and speak. Thank you again for mm-hmm. listening to us today, and I'm very happy I got to do this one with you, dude.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
Bye.